TV.
Well, if you thought yesterday was good, and judging by your comments, you did, then you're going to find today even better. Looking into Isaiah chapter 60 of all places to find out what will be happening with Israel on the earth when she is changed and she enters into her glory, and using that as a pattern, because earth imitates heaven. Earth imitates heaven. Went through those scriptures yesterday and the day before and the day before. Not going to do it again, except for one from the Lord's Prayer: thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's your relationship. And so I'm going to continue on in Isaiah chapter 60. Welcome to the show. I'm Martin Sender, and it's great to have you here. Don't forget about the conference. I think by this time, an email has gone out. And so go to my homepage, martinsender.com. And you can read the email. If it's not there, I'll make sure my sister puts it up there. So, Isaiah, Kansas City, Missouri, May 15th, 16th, and 17th, 2026. I will be there, and I'd love to meet you. Verse 14, Isaiah 60, they come to you bowing down. These are your enemies. These are those who weren't necessarily your enemies, but they thought you were off your rocker. They thought you were misguided for quitting church. They thought your belief in the salvation of all was too generous. They resented the fact that you thought you didn't have a free will. And you listened to some crazy guy on the internet. And we watch this crazy guy, and he has some crazy ideas. None of my ideas are crazy, because for one thing, they're not ideas. They're scriptural facts, the salvation of all, the eons, the plan of the eons. The celestial destiny of the saints, the two gospels. It's all beautifully here, and you're here. You're here for a reason. God has appointed you to be here. Many of you have told me this show brings you peace. Because I'm real, I'm bringing it to you real, I'm bringing it to you straight, and you know that I'm in the boat along with you. I'm not some wise man on the mount throwing down advice and throwing down scripture verses and living in some paradise. Yes, I am in Fort Lauderdale, which many people consider paradise on earth, but there is no paradise on earth. There is none. Believe me, no matter where you are, there is no paradise on earth. Because this is the same planet, the crucified Christ. That's what this world thinks of Jesus Christ. It crucified him. So we're not at home here, no matter where we are. They come to you bowing down, all the sons of those who humiliated you. And they bow down at the soles of your feet, all those who spurned you. This is new territory now. They bow down at the soles of your feet. This is the low of the low. So you have been, and you have felt, to be at the low of the low. And you look around, and it seems like everybody else is having a good old time. I mean, I don't know. It seems like that to me. I know it can't be right. Henry David Thoreau said that men everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. So I guess they're all desperate, but it looks to me like everybody's having a good old time. So what's my problem, you know? But they bow down at the soles of your feet. Everything's going to be reversed. The last will be first and the first will be last. I didn't make that up. That's a scripture verse. The last will be first. Look at it that way. The last, because this is the proper order of things. The last will be first. Those who are last now, this bodes well for me. My last name being Zender. My books, anytime they're cataloged in a Z, I'm the last. I'm going to be first. My books will be bestsellers among the celestials. A little bit of a joke there, but the last will be first and the first last. Fortunes will be reversed. And those who are humiliating you now will one day bow at the soles of your feet, all those who spurned you. And of course, the ultimate example of this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Israel spurned their own Messiah, their own Savior. and they call you City of Yahweh, Zion of the Holy One of Israel, where you had become forsaken and hated, and there was no one helping, I will make you a pride Aeonian. Listen to this. Where you had become forsaken, this is to Israel, and this is speaking of the very earth where they had become forsaken and hated. Part of it because of their own stupidity and their own hardness, but we know that's ultimately of God. Where you had become forsaken and hated, and there was no one helping. But you felt this way, haven't you? You're on your own, no one helping. I will make you a pride Aeonian. We're taught now that pride is wrong. And in the sense of the old humanity, yeah, pride comes before a fall. So we have no pride anymore. We know that there's nothing good dwelling in our flesh. We have no confidence in our flesh. But the new creation does put on us a different pride. A pride, and I think this is okay, in what God has done with us and what he is doing with us. You can't deny it. God has chosen you, and he's giving you secrets that he's keeping from the rest of the human race. And there's a certain pride in that, but it's not a self-pride. It's a being glad in the accomplishments of God. But this, I will make you a pride Aeonian. So this is speaking of the coming eon, not this one. This eon sucks. The coming eon and the eon after that, I will make you a pride Aeonian. So I don't think this is self-aimed as much as it is that those outside will be proud. I will make you a pride Aeonian. They will be proud of you. Imagine this. Imagine this. You were raised by terrible parents who never gave you love, never hugged you, never told you you were great, never told you you were successful, never said they were proud of you. And imagine the reversal of fortunes when they, after seeing you glorified at the great white throne, they missed out on Aeonian life. They didn't miss out on it. They were not chosen for it. God makes you their pride and joy for the eons. Not this one, the next two. You become their pride. They brag that they knew you. They brag that they were your father or your mother or your sister or your brother or your son or your daughter. Now they're bragging about it, just like Jesus's brothers. Not even his own brothers, and he had literal brothers. Not even his brothers believed in him, scripture says. But he will be their pride. They will say, I grew up with them. After he's manifest, after he's glorified, and they show up later. They're not in the kingdom. They show up later at the great white throne, the thousand-year, the millennium is in the history books. Hey, there's my brother. I'm so proud of you, brother. You did good after all, kid. You made good. You did good. You are good. Yeah. I was going to say a little too late for that, but it's not. It's never too late with God. It just happens at a later time, but it's not too late. I will make you a pride Aeonian, an elation of generation after generation. Now that rhymes, huh? An elation of generation. This is a concordant version of the Old Testament. I will make you an elation of generation after generation. There will be generations. There will be people born in the fifth eon on the new earth. And generation after generation after generation. You know how the school kids today in the United States, we revere great historical figures like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. We just had President's Day here in my country. It was a holiday. And generation after generation raise up the names of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and other great men and women of our history. Paul Revere, Betsy Ross, Eisenhower, John Kennedy, all these greats. You, little old you, little nobody, will be an elation In other words, the enthusiasm. Elation speaks of just bubbling over with excitement, joy, happiness. You will be an elation. The mention of your name, your appearance, and we will appear here and there. We will be the celebrities of the next eon and the eon after that. We will be the new celebrities, the proper celebrities of the Aeonian times. An elation of generation after generation when you will suckle the milk of nations. Wow. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? Suckle the milk of nations. You will be at leisure. Even though we may very well be, we will be working. It will feel like leisure. Work will not be work. We'll be working to reconcile the universe to God. We know that the celestial world needs to be conciliated to God. God is already conciliated with the world. But it will be our task to announce Christ to places far off. We will be at ease. You will suckle the milk of nations. You think of a baby animal or a baby human, suckle the milk. Just one who suckles, you're just like, you just sit there. The suckler does all the work. The suckalee just sucks it up. So we will just be sucking it up, sucking up the wealth of the celestial kings and queens, and shall suckle the breast of kingdoms. Okay, all right, there we go. Let's read this again. You will suckle the milk of nations and shall suckle the breast of kingdoms. Boy, is that pictorial, huh? Suckle the breast of kingdoms. Okay, you can get that image in your mind if you'd like. I won't paint it for you. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior. Oh, we know it now. We know it now. They don't. Israel doesn't. They will know then, but we know it now. It is so great to know it ahead of time while we're last, before the big switcheroo happens. We already know it. That Yahweh, the name of God, will, being, was, the God of time, the God who goes through the eons with humanity, that lowers himself, condescends to go through time with us because he invented time. Through Christ. Christ created the eons. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior. But to know that ahead of time is a real gift. And we know it now. I just love that. But you're going uphill. You're an oddball now. But like I said before, what we believe today will become extremely popular during the 1,000 years and beyond. And your Redeemer is the sturdy one of Jacob. Verse 17, instead of copper, I shall bring gold. Instead of copper, I shall bring gold. This is earthly copper, earthly gold. And I have no reason to believe this is not literal. Instead of copper, I shall bring gold. Copper is a common metal. Think of pennies made of copper. I know they're not made of copper anymore. Back in the day, they were made of copper. Imagine trading in a penny for a coin of gold. And instead of the iron, I shall bring silver. This pictures a trading in of the pains, a trading in of the tears, trading in of the hardships for ease, for glory, for happiness. Oh my God. So even if it's not literal, I believe it will be literal, but we can take it metaphorically as well and say we were trading in pain for happiness. Instead of iron, I shall bring silver. Instead of wood, copper. So instead of wood, he's going to bring copper. But then he says earlier, instead of copper, I'll bring gold. So to put those two together, you'll be able to barter wood for gold. God brings you wood now. Think of it. Think of Israel. I gave you wood. What does he tell Noah? Build a boat of gopher wood. So he builds this giant boat. But wood bespeaks of labor, because you see this giant tree, it's not going to make itself into a boat. The tree is not going to make itself into a boat. You got to cut it down. You got to saw out the logs. And forget about the Ark of Noah. Today, even today, you live in a house made of wood. The wood didn't automatically fall neatly under the tree as a 2x4. So wood is not that great. There's a lot of it. It's wood. I mean, it's just kind of humiliating. It's a humiliating substance. Nothing against trees. I love trees. I love trees. But they're kind of embarrassing. I'm sorry. Nothing against the trees. Again, I don't want to make any tree feel bad or any arborist feel lesser than. All I'm saying is that there's going to be a substitute for wood, thank God. And that's going to be copper, which is a hell of an improvement on wood. But then you'll be able to trade in your copper. Though you won't be trading it in. God will be saying, give me that copper, and we'll be given gold instead. Instead of stones, iron. And then iron's going to be turned into silver. So stones, that the most humiliating elements here are stones and wood. Just the primitiveness. We live in such a primitive world. Stones and wood. You think of the Stone Age. I mean, there was no such thing as caveman and Stone Age. Adam was the first being. Evolution is a total and complete lie. There's no such thing as Cro-Magnon man or a Neanderthal. You see these guys dragging their women by the hair, holding clubs like the Flintstones. The Flintstones are more real. The Flintstones are more accurate depiction of the humanity than National Geographic with their idiotic Cro-Magnon man and Neanderthal man, and there is no missing link between apes and humans. So that's all a lie. That's all a lie. In fact, I learned this from Elroy Smith when he came to my house, and I invited him to speak at my conference back in the 90s, and Elroy gave a talk against evolution. Oh, you thought he was good on the salvation of all and the sovereignty of God, which he was, but he was great on debunking evolution. He was so great, and he said, I didn't realize this, that the evolution guy, Darwin, was a church kid. His mom dragged him to church, and he hated the God of eternal torment. And because he was taught the God of eternal torment, he so rebelled against that God, he decided to develop a history of creation that eliminated God. But he knew there were holes in the theory. That's why they keep calling it the theory of evolution. It's not true. There's holes in it. I'm no expert at explaining it, but I've watched very, very intelligent people blowing holes in it. And quoting Darwin himself, that the theory had holes in it. And you don't need to be told that. Just read the scriptures. Read Genesis. That's history. Genesis is not a story. Genesis is not a fiction. It's not a metaphor. It's our history. Okay, so back to Isaiah 60. Instead of stones, iron, I will establish peace as your supervisor. Okay, now for all you folks working in factories or anybody that has a job that has a supervisor or taskmasters, listen to this. I will establish peace as your supervisor. Do you associate your supervisor with peace? No? Well, in the future, our supervisor will be Christ, and he is the King of peace and righteousness as your taskmasters. Israel, in her history, had many taskmasters. They were enslaved several times. Their history is riddled with not being their own bosses, but righteousness will be their taskmaster. You're not going to get beaten by righteousness. You're not going to be fired or abused by peace. Verse 18, no longer shall violence be heard in your land. I love this. I love this. You know, we're surrounded by violence. God help you if you watch the news. I just dabble in it. I don't like suck the breast. To quote Isaiah here, I don't suck the breast of news. I don't suckle the milk of current events. I have to know a little bit of what's happening to do what I do, but I don't suck hard at it. No longer shall violence be heard in your land. It won't even be broadcast. You know, peace makes for lousy television. Nobody wants to watch TV and see peace. People want conflict, which is pretty stupid. You have enough conflict in your own life, and then you're going to go turn on your TV at the end of the day to relax and watch conflict? What the hell's the matter with us? I do it too sometimes. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. but no longer shall violence be heard in your land. There's not going to be any bad news anymore. This is going to be true on earth and in the heavens, even more so in the heavens. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be white noise. That's the most peace I can imagine in this world. White noise. I sleep with white noise. Maria can't stand any sort of noise, which is, as it became a big problem for us. So being the loving husband that I am, I said, well, I'll provide my own white noise. I wear these things all night. They're actually comfortable. I can actually lay on my side, and I have a white noise app on my phone. I'm probably blowing my ears out and blowing my brains out too with the Bluetooth, but I don't need my ears or my brains for very much longer. That's the only way I can sleep, with the white noise. And that's how I picture the absence of violence. Is just white noise. It must be remind me of my mother's womb, like that email I got. It must remind me of the muffled sound that came through my mom's membranes. Yeah, thank God for those membranes. Muffled everything on the outside. Then I came out and everything clanked, everything clinked. And it was cold. I could hear the nurse's nylons whizzing as she carried me to the incubator. Awful. Give me white noise. Give me my white noise. Devastation and brokenness. No longer shall violence be heard in your land. Devastation and brokenness within your boundaries. Have you been devastated and broken? I have. I have been devastated in my life. Devastated and broken. Within my boundaries. These enemies scaled the walls of my boundaries without my permission. God thought it necessary to bring devastation and brokenness to make me the person I am, to make me be able to speak like this on the scriptures, see things in the scriptures, to want to talk about it, tell it to other people. You have to be broken. I think you do. I don't know how else. But that's going to be no more. No, that's going to be in the past, No more violence, no more devastation, no more brokenness. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. There are still going to be walls and gates even in the celestial realm because there will be cities there. There are cities here, there are cities there. But the cities there make even the most beautiful cities here look like bedrock of the Flintstone. Of Flintstone fame. No longer shall the sun be your light by day, nor shall the moon give light for brightness for you by night, but Yahweh will become your light aeonian. Oh, I love this light aeonian. Day and night. I'm such a weird creature. I love the dark of the morning. Okay, so I like to go out and run early because I like the dark. It feels private, it feels cozy, it feels personal. Everything feels more at peace. But then when the sun comes up, I get pissed off. Ah, shit, there's the sun. But then I get used to it, and then the sun comes, and then I light the sun, and then I get pissed when darkness comes again. What's my problem? I'm not happy. I'm not happy when it's dark, not happy when it's light. Oh, this is the solution. No longer shall the sun be your light by day, nor shall the moon give light for brightness for you by night. But Yahweh will become your light aeonian. Constant, steady. That wasn't very steady. It won't be. That suggests wavelengths. It'll be more like. Oh, it's going to be constant spiritual light. Just like the light in the Holy of Holies. That mystical, magical, if you will, light provided by the Shekinah glory of God in between the wings of the cherubim. The high priest could see inside the Holy of Holies, but there was no natural light there because there were so many curtains. It was a perfect cube surrounded by heavy, heavy curtains. How could he see the light of God? It was just in a little tiny place on earth, but that light will be our entire experience, and it would be pervasive throughout the celestial world, at least our celestial world. Yahweh will become your light Aeonian. So I don't know if this is going to be true for every creature in the celestial world. Just like I don't know if it will be true for every creature in the terrestrial world during the millennium, but I like this. Yahweh will become your light Aeonian and Elohim your beauty. How many times you look in the mirror? You wonder, do I still look good or do I look like crap? Every day I look in the mirror, you turn this way, turn that way. I'm looking at my neck where the surgery scar is. I got swollen lymph gland hairs. Part of the aftermath of the surgery, constantly looking at myself before the show. I look at my hair and I say, oh God, I hate it. It's so tiresome. What does this say? Yahweh will become your light Aeonian and Elohim your beauty. Thank God. Thank God. Elohim will be my beauty and your beauty. Elohim. No more looking in the mirror, gauging ourselves, comparing ourselves to others. Elohim. The subjector. That's what that word means. The subjector will be our beauty. No longer shall your sun set, nor your moon be gathered in, because there will be no sun and moon in our world. For Yahweh, he shall become your light Aeonian. Now, I'm not reading the previous verse. It's repeated. And your days of, listen to this, your days of mourning will be finished up. That's it. What a flat statement. I mean, flat. And by flat, I mean simple. I mean, just straightforward. Unadorned, raw, no fat, pure meat, lean. Listen to it again. Your days of mourning will be finished up. Get all your mourning in now while you can. Because your days of mourning will be finished up. I love this. I can read this 100 times. Your days of mourning will be finished up. And your people, all of them, shall be righteous. Your people, your sons, your daughters, your fathers, your mothers. In the eons to come, after the great white throne, in eon 5, and at the consummation, the last of them, the stragglers, they will be righteous. Your people, all of them, shall be righteous. This is almost like a kind of like a salvation of all verse. Suggests it. They shall be righteous. Wow, I love that. Your people, all of them, shall be righteous. Quoting scripture here. For the eon, they shall tenant the land. Again, we're speaking of Israel, but we have a land too. We will tenant a land. The scion of Yahweh's planning. Scion is the offspring. Every creature is the scion, that is the offspring of Yahweh's planting. He's planted every single person on the earth and every single celestial being in the heavens. The work of his hands do show his beauty. Oh, God, that's what it's all about, his beauty, not mine. The smallest shall become a thousand, and the inferior a staunch nation. I, Yahweh, this is the last verse, verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 60. I, Yahweh, I shall hurry it forth in its era. Listen to this. All that I just read in the last couple days, I, Yahweh, I shall hurry it forth in its era. Once the era hits, this thing's going to hurry. That's exactly what John says at the beginning of Revelation. Things that must happen swiftly, not soon, but once they start, they will happen swiftly. We are in the era, and God is even now hurrying it.